You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The healthcare industry in Washington, D.C. is Washington, D.C.'s largest lobby, and last year it spent a record $189 million, a 32% jump over 2006. Over 90% of that money has come from companies and trade groups representing pharmaceutical, medical device, and biotechnology interests. So how much influence has all that money bought them? As part of a special three-part, three-day series on the role of lobbyists in Washington and in this election, we are joined now from Washington by Chris Freites, a staff writer on lobbyists for Politico, and Bill Buesenberg, executive director of the Center for Public Integrity. Welcome to the show.
Hi, glad to be here. Thank you.
Chris, do we know how many lobbyists for the healthcare industry currently operate in Washington, D.C.?
There are certainly hundreds, and I would probably put that number in the thousands if you took everybody who has an account with, the healthcare interests here. It's certainly, as you say, kind of one of the biggest lobbies, and for good reason. I mean, there's been very, very important legislation that's been considered by Congress in the last few years, the Medicare Prescription Drug Bill, the first time that the United States Congress gave Americans a prescription drug benefit under the Medicare Act was enacted. That was heavily lobbied by the pharmaceutical companies to make sure that they got a good deal when it came to government reimbursements for those kinds of services. In fact, one of the main members who helped push that deal through, if you remember back, the board was held open longer than any other vote ever. It was taken at 3 a.m. in the morning. Representative Billy Tozen was instrumental in making sure that the vote and the arm twisting that got done to win that vote happened. And he later became chairman of the trade association that represents all the pharmaceutical companies. So there are high stakes, hardball kind of lobbying that happens here in healthcare because there are billions and billions of dollars at stake when it comes to healthcare spending in America.
Well, are we talking about a lot of different companies and trade groups all working together, or do they work separately? Do they sometimes disagree?
It's a great question, Leonard. I think they often disagree because you just don't have pharmaceutical companies or take pharmaceutical companies since you kind of let in with them. The Pharmaceutical Research Manufacturers of America, is their trade group. But within that, you have biotech companies, you have chemical drug companies, your more traditional pills. You have biogeneric companies that make insulin and things that are grown from biologic standpoints. So even within those big trade groups, there are schisms because those guys are trying to represent their own interests. So it's a very, very splintered, but often they can find some common ground to move forward, even within one industry.
And Bill, the lobby group that Chris just mentioned, Pharma, spelled P, capital P, lowercase h, capital R-M-A, is headed by the former Louisiana Congressman Billy Tozen. They are the largest, most influential lobbying group in this area. How much money do they spend on lobbying members of Congress? How much over the last decade? Has anybody done any addition there?
Yeah, we've done that. It's more than $1 billion if you add up the last 10 years.
That's a billion with a B.
That's B, billion. It's the largest single lobby in Washington. There are more than 1,000 members. You have to think of two pharma lobbyists for every member of Congress, and you'll be close. They are incredibly influential. And this amount of money, you mentioned the pharma lobby was about $190 million in 2007. If you add up the entire health sector all wide, then it's really $450 million in lobbying in 2007. So we're talking about extremely large amounts of money.
How much of this lobbying comes in the form of campaign contributions?
Well, they do give campaign contributions. That's a smaller segment of it. If I took that healthcare sector that I just mentioned, $16 million went to the Obama campaign and $7 million to the McCain campaign, compared with $450 million that goes into lobbying. So, yes, they give campaign contributions. The pharma lobby itself, just the pharma lobby, gave something like $1.6 million to Obama and about $600,000 to McCain. So they give money to campaigns, no question about it, but their biggest amount of money they're spending is lobbying. And I will tell you, they are all gearing up for the biggest battle in lobbying that will come in 2009.
But some of those contributions are also going to Congress. In fact, campaign contributions are often called the price of admission to get heard in Congress. So what are they looking for with their money?
Well, they were, if you look back at 2007, you can see very effectively, as Chris mentioned, what they got. There was a big effort. The Democrats were in power. They were going to change, for example, the way we're all inundated by advertising by the pharmaceutical industry on television. There was an effort. Well, let's curb some of that stuff. Okay, that was defeated. They got essentially everything they wanted. There was an effort to change the prescription drug bill, to actually roll back some of its worst provisions that really helped the pharmaceutical industry. Well, that was defeated. There was another effort to extend patents and not extend patents for the interest of the drug industry. That was defeated. So that money in Congress gives them exactly what they want. They were very happy with the new Democratic Congress because they got everything they wanted.
Chris, hasn't the industry typically favored Republicans? But as we just heard, Obama is getting a lot more money than McCain during this election cycle. Is it simply because they think Obama is going to win?
Well, certainly, Leonard. Part of what pharma faced as a trade organization was a reputation around Washington that they were kind of on the Republican team, and they've had to make very, very big adjustments since the Democrats have come to power 2 years ago and have started giving more equally, have started to, seek out ways to help Democrats because, if you remember anything about how Washington works, it's about who holds the levers of power. And there's a bet against Republicans this year as well that, Democrats might just run the town. Part of what you saw pharma do, while defeating things it didn't like, was helping Dems on things that were big priorities for their caucus. Expanding children's health care comes to mind. Last summer, there was a very, very big push to expand how many children and the incomes of their parents, and expanding the reach of providing health care to children.
This is the SCHIP.
This is the SCHIP program, right? It's the state's children's health insurance program. It's called SCHIP for short around town here. And the pharma companies, behind the scenes, without a lot of fanfare, spent a good chunk of change advertising on behalf of that expansion, partnered with unions like the SEIU, who were out in front with it, but were providing money and support on the back end for this campaign. And House Democrats particularly were very thankful, thought it was a shrewd political move to kind of show that pharma understood who was in power and that they could help when appropriate for their members get things done. So, you can follow the money. It's always a good indicator for how the industry views Washington and where it's going. But you also can look at their tactics and see that they have changed and are playing more ball with Democrats because they need to earn back some trust that many Democrats felt like it was pharma and Republicans were interchangeable, that they were a very partisan group. Tozen has wisely started to pivot on that.
Well, Tozen is a bipartisan politician himself. He was a Democrat
himself, right?
Who switched to the Republican Party. But he was also once chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which has oversight over the drug industry. And some people were rather shocked when he wound up with this job. Can you talk about the role that he played in the Medicare Prescription Drug Modernization Act of 2003?
Well, certainly he was a guy who, kind of helped craft that, who helped make sure that, the drug companies got the kinds of reimbursements that they wanted. He kept things out like, Democrats have pushed for years an idea that there should be a bulk buying discount for Medicare, that they should be able to basically set prices and say, this is what we want to pay for this. He was able to keep that out of the Medicare bill. And he held the board open for many, many hours on the floor while they twisted arms to get this done. Republicans didn't like it because it was an expansion of government. Democrats didn't like it because they thought it was a giveaway to the drug companies. So he spent a good chunk of time convincing Republicans to swallow hard and vote for this so it would get through. It was a big, big tenet of the Bush administration to provide prescription drugs, something he promised on the campaign trail. And Now, a lot of people around town looked at that that work that he did on that bill and the job that he got subsequently as a reward for that, as a guy who clearly understood the industry, was a friend of the industry, and could be effective representing them in what they thought was a Republican, you know, going to continue to be a Republicanly controlled Congress going forward.
My guests are Chris Freitz, a staff writer on lobbyists for Politico, Bill Buesenberg, executive director of the Center for Public Integrity. This is the first in a three-part series looking at the impact of lobbies in Washington and on this current presidential campaign. Getting back to the S-chip for just a moment, Bill, does the fact that a lot of lobby money was thrown out there in support of this bill make it bad legislation?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that was good legislation, and it's one, if you say the pharmaceutical industry didn't quite get that one, they didn't quite get there. But look, the amount of money, let me just give you a couple other figures, because they gave $190 million, right, the pharmaceutical lobby in 2007. And that same year, there were 3 billion prescriptions written. The U.S. has the most expensive pharmaceuticals in the world, and that was worth something like $286 billion. So their money is really protecting an enormous industry. And for the things they really wanted, they did get everything they wanted.
So how much money did pharma stand to make from the S-chip expansion, which, by the way, President Bush vetoed twice?
Yes, the president vetoed it. Otherwise, it would have become law. I don't know exactly, but if you're adding 4 million children to get they would be getting their drugs paid for, that's a huge amount of money. I don't know how many millions that is. Maybe Chris knows, but it's worth a great deal. It was certainly, and this is my point, it's worth so much more than the money that they're putting into members of Congress and into their lobbying. It's a factor of 20 for what they get out of it.
The Associated Press put the number somewhere around $12 billion, which is a lot of money. According to the Associated Press, pharma is bankrolling one of the biggest issue ad campaigns of the election season, a $13 million televised thank you to 28 lawmakers, most of them Democrats, who supported the S-chip legislation last year. Why do you think the industry is spending so much money to thank Democrats? Chris, some of these guys aren't even up for re-election this year, like Harry Reid of Nevada.
Harry Reid is also the majority leader of the Senate and a guy who could be facing a tough race when he is up again. And it just makes sense to thank your friends and to, in Pharma's case, try to make friends with the Democrats, because there are a lot of other health organizations out there that are much more and have been over the years more closely aligned with the Democrats. And Pharma is kind of coming to the game late, and they're making an additional investment because they realize that they had been seen for so long as kind of one-sided and had bet for so long on the Republican political fortunes that they need to reach out. That's what we're seeing in S-chip. It certainly isn't selfless, as Bill pointed out. You know, it's an investment on they're getting a return on their investment here when it comes to lobbying dollars in D.C. And you know, frankly, when you talk about these complex issues, you know, you have to have a seat at the table if you're an industry that has as much riding on the outcome of some of these bills as the pharmaceutical industry does.
Only three Republicans, all of them locked in tight races for re-election, were singled out in these flattering ads. Senators Gordon Smith of Oregon and Susan Collins of Maine and Representative Phil English of Pennsylvania. And they're all kind of liberal Republicans as well. Bill, why do you think the pharmaceutical giants are pushing for more government spending on drugs now? Weren't they and the rest of the industry opposed to President Clinton's efforts for universal health care in the 1990s?
Well, I can give you some real background on that, because it does suggest what's going to happen in the year ahead. The Center for Public Integrity did a very exhaustive study in 1993-94 and looked at, it was $100 million went into lobbying on essentially defeating the Clinton health care reform effort. Some 650 organizations and interest groups were involved in that. And this was by far up to then the largest blitz in the nation's history involving any proposed legislation. $25 million went directly to members of Congress, and especially to the members of the five key committees that have jurisdiction over health care. I think we'll see that, and we're seeing that again. tens of millions of dollars went into the TV ads, which I think we all remember Harry and Louise and that advertising, which all by itself dropped public support for health care reform by 20%. It's something Senator Jay Rockefeller, I remember him saying this was the single most destructive campaign he's seen in 30 years. They really were able to change, and some members bragged about this afterwards in the health insurance industries. They bragged about having killed health care reform. There was also the revolving door. 80 members of Congress or the administration basically went into the health care sector, which is just what we're talking about Tozen having done. So this is, you know, the fact that a new administration is coming in and wants to have health care reform, you see what's building up and what money is doing and getting ready to do. It isn't just start on that legislation. It's been this whole year building up. This 30% jump that went to mostly to Democrats is a way to prepare the ground to get what they want in knowing that there's going to be an effort at health care reform in the year ahead.
And what do you think they're going to want? They didn't want the Clinton plan.
They didn't want the Clinton plan. They don't want anything that will actually restrict, you know, money going to the pharmaceutical industry. For example, one of the things that's been proposed by the Democrats is why don't we allow importation of cheaper drugs? They're cheaper anywhere else in the world. We could import them. Well, they were able to defeat that in the last Congress. I'm sure that's the example of the kind of thing they don't want in the new legislation either, or to do that bargaining, the bulk bargaining that Chris just talked about. These are the kind of things that they want to make sure are not in any reform legislation.
My guests are Bill Buesenberg, Executive Director of the Center for Public Integrity, and Chris Freites, staff writer and lobbyist for Politico. And we're talking about, in this case, the lobbyist for the pharmaceutical industry and related healthcare industries. Chris, when the Medicare Act was making its way through Congress, Representative Nick Smith of Michigan claimed and then later denied that business leaders offered to donate large sums of money to his son's congressional campaign if he changed his vote in favor of the bill. And isn't that bribery?
You know, there's a very fine line when it comes to when it comes to political giving, and it kind of depends on, you know, the exact circumstances, which is probably why that statement was taken back. But I want to go back to something that Bill talked a little bit about, because we've talked a lot about the pharmaceutical companies, but you guys have also touched on this idea that, you know, 30% jump in spending by healthcare organizations, generally most of which are favoring Democrats, to till the ground for next year. And I think, you know, we'd be to neglect the other big interests that will be at play here would do a disservice to your listeners. I mean, you have America's Health Insurance Plans, AARP, the American Medical Association, a new coalition of progressives that include unions and MoveOn.org and Healthcare for America Now. These guys have spent millions and millions of dollars in advertising and advocacy over the last 2 years to put healthcare center stage come January. The candidates themselves have spent a lot of money. Obama has spent 8 times more money on healthcare ads than McCain has, spending $113 million so far in this year on ads that talk about healthcare. Federal candidates have spent $275 million talking about healthcare in House and Senate races around the country. There has been a phenomenal investment in readying the ground, positioning. This kind of positioning you didn't used to see until about this time of year. And we have gone back now almost an entire year of a jump start for 2009 that generally in the past wouldn't get started till now has been in full tilt for at least 8 or 9 months.
Has the possibility, the strong possibility of a budget crunch due to the financial crisis, meaning that we'll see less funding for federal programs, been a concern of these lobbyists?
It certainly is a concern. And, you know, we've seen, journalists try to peg down some of the candidates on what they wouldn't do because of the financial crisis. But there's also a sense among healthcare lobbyists that if they are going to get anything done, it has to come early in the next administration's first term. They've learned a lesson from President Clinton. If you remember, he had gays in the military. He had a balanced budget. He had a big crime bill. He didn't get to healthcare reform until, you know, the fall. and at which time his political capital was, you know, had been tapped pretty heavily. And there's a sense that they need to hit the ground running if they have any chance of passing anything to get it done early, particularly now there's an extra emphasis because of the economic crisis to push this forward so that that doesn't continue to suck all the air, attention, and money out of the room.
Bill, both Senator Obama and Senator McCain want Medicare to negotiate the price of drugs with the pharmaceutical companies to drive costs down. Given the amount of pharma money that's being flowing into Congress, do you think that's likely?
I think that it has a possibility, certainly. What Chris pointed out is exactly right. This is really the mother of all legislative battles is coming, and the lobbying money is on both sides. There are huge interests that want these kinds of changes, too. So, you know, it isn't all one-sided. It is a huge money pit right now for what's coming, and that was my point of how much is involved and what the stakes are in an industry that's worth this much. So I don't think anybody could say, even proponents could say that's going to happen for sure. It will be a battle, and watch out for grassroots campaigns. Watch out for these advertising directly to the public. It's going to be like a campaign continuing in 2009.
Earlier this month, New York Times reporter Robert Pear wrote that one other factor that may have chilled enthusiasm for giving to Republicans is that Senator John McCain has not taken a typically Republican stance toward the industry. How is he different from the party and the industry on health care? Haven't a number of lobbyists been working on his campaign?
He has a number of lobbyists working for him, starting with Charlie Black, his senior person, who's been very much a lobbyist in this industry. So, you know, we have, in fact, it's true on both sides. We have people involved in both campaigns who are very familiar with this industry and have worked for it and worked in it and have lobbied for it. So it's, you know, I think in some ways that's, whether it was a McCain or not, it's these people are involved.
And Senator Obama, as you say, also has some advisors from the healthcare industry.
He has more. They're in universities. There's one Harvard. There's someone, but they're doctors. They're medical advisors. They're people who have been involved in policy many, many times, involved in this industry. Now, it's not quite the same as the McCain side, and I don't want to infer that. I think if you look at Charlie Black and how he has lobbied for the pharmaceutical industries, GlaxoSmithKline, Bristol Myers Squibb, Johnson & Johnson are directly in part of the campaign that he's worked on before in his lobbying role.
Well, McCain had a rule that people in his campaign can't be registered as lobbyists. Go ahead.
No, he just said he's Charlie Black says, "Oh, I'm a former lobbyist." He's not currently registered as a lobbyist. He was part of a campaign, an organization that was lobbying for those industries before he became campaign chief.
Bill, your Center for Public Integrity has reported that the pharmaceutical and health product industry gave more than $6.8 million in contributions to members of three committees that regulate the industry. Wouldn't common sense dictate that that should be made illegal?
Well, what I'd like to say, we have what is really a kind of a legalized corruption in this country. This money is going directly to the members of the committee who oversee this industry directly, but you can't say there's an absolute quid pro quo. That's the way we dance around it in this country. We say, well, they didn't give this money for this vote per se. But the truth is, if you track this money and look at the votes, it's getting awfully close, and it's a... Again, I think an extremely serious issue. The good news is there's lobbying on both sides, and there's money coming in on both sides, and that makes it and votes don't exactly track just one side's money. So it is a legalized corruption, is my view. And the amounts of money we're talking about in this battle, the amounts of money are just as large as anything that's ever been lobbied for in Washington, which is saying a lot.
Is it likely that Congress would pass legislation that would try to clean this up, or is this just too lucrative a flow of money for them to deny themselves?
I think all of us would like to say, well, reform is possible and this can happen, but I'm being very realistic when I tell you that I think this it's certainly not going to be easy. Can a president lead and change the equation in a way that allows this sort of change to come about? Of course, it's possible, but it's certainly not going to be easy. And I think in Congress, you can gum up the works pretty effectively with an awful lot of money. And that's so I think getting major reform through is right now, I mean, what would you say? It's probably less than 50-50 is the way you'd have to look at it.
I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us. I've been talking with Bill Buesenberg, formerly of NPR, now Executive Director of the Center for Public Integrity, Chris Freites, a staff writer and lobbyist for Politico, and we will continue our three-part series on the role of lobbyists in Washington with investigative journalist Ken Silberstein. Tomorrow we'll discuss energy interests with him, and then on Friday we'll talk to reporter Matt Cooper about the financial industry's lobbying efforts. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Len.